Today's show is sponsored by Brush. Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist. A fresh whole mouth clean every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with code POD15. Follow the link in our show notes at timespentpoorly.com and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
He argues with her about putting on a condom, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go in the bathroom and put on a condom. And he reaches under his mattress, and he pulls this thing out, and he goes to hand it to her, and he's like, put this on while I'm there. And she starts to unfold it, and she's like, what is it?
It's a nurse's outfit.
It is black lingerie that he informs her he swiped from his mom's laundry so that she could wear for him.
Wow.
So he steals his mom's fucking nightie to give to his girlfriend so he can plow his girlfriend in his mom's lingerie. And it only gets better from there.
Wow. This really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
So, Amazon bought MGM Studios.
So, the you pulled up the link. This, I don't... Maybe I'm showing naivety, or naivete.
Naivete.
However you want to pronounce it.
You fucking Frenchies.
That's a lot of money for...
I'm angry today,
huh? For MGM?
For MGM. I like, that's a lot of money.
Well, I wonder if that how includes much they, the casinos.
How much did... I'm
if it includes the casinos, then it was a great buy.
MGM Studios.
It's MGM Studios, so it's not...
MGM Game.
The actual Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer company. I mean...
For 8-point, marking its boldest move yet into the entertainment industry... And turbocharging its streaming ambitions, but look, the catalog they'll take like on.
Disney
and well, in HBO, but so somebody has to say, somebody has to answer the Disney and HBO thing, because HBO, Warner, I guess, owns HBO now.
Yeah.
AT&T, Warner. All
I
that.
Don't know who the actual parent company of that is.
I don't know anymore either. It used to be AT&T.
It's so convoluted that I don't actually know who the main...
John Oliver. If you ever watch John Oliver, he pokes fun at... because he works... He's on HBO.
Yeah.
But he will... when it was AT&T, he would poke fun at AT&T and call it Business Daddy. And then he would... Now he's calling Warner New Business Daddy. So I think it's Warner is the new...
And Disney owns Warner, doesn't it?
No.
No. No, that's the last
Warner
one
and HBO.
Had, so yeah. We can get an Avengers JLA cross.
Well, and Viacom.
So Warner and HBO, and that's DC. So
and, yeah, they have DC.
And then so MGM's kind of like one of the last holdouts.
Yeah.
Paramount is under CBS.
Yeah, Viacom, CBS.
And but based
on the amount of casinos they owned, that's probably why they were such a holdout. And now they might just be in the casino business, because why throw money away on... Movies,
4,000 films and 17,000 TV shows.
Wow!
To bolster Amazon Studios and its film and TV division.
But what?
And they're
what
doing their, the best.
So they're going to get all the. Ready. They'll get so all the Bond their, movies.
What like obviously,
and Wizard of Oz.
Everybody really touted the Bond thing as the big part of this. But like, what other big IPs do they have?
I don't know. It's hard to remember. I can't remember how. What?
Well, it's 4,000 films and 7.
I don't remember the last time I saw MGM come up when I watched a movie.
I doubt we're going to get all those.
Keep scrolling. Keep scrolling down and see if it says anything. There's usually outside a list of,
like
the
titles.
Big Sick, Manchester by the Sea, The Marvelous Miss Maisel, and Transparent are all things from Amazon. So.
Yeah.
They're talking about Amazon's new Lord of the Rings thing that they're spending a bunch of money on.
But this is just more money.
Amazon's big deal with the NFL, which if what I heard is true, they're waiting for... So Amazon got their deal for Thursday Night Football starting in 2022, and they're trying to leverage Al Michaels away from Sunday Night Football.
I thought Amazon's been doing Thursday Night for a while now.
They're now the sole. They have been doing it.
So you have to have Prime.
You have to have Prime now to watch.
But who doesn't? Like,
well, yeah,
I save more than it's worth on
shipping
in the first like 2 months that I pay for my subscription at this point.
Yeah, they're talking about throwing, because they got the Thursday Night Football thing. They're talking about throwing a big chunk of change at Al Michaels to get him away from NBC Sunday Night Football and have him come do Thursday Night Football, which would mean Mike Tirico would replace him with Chris Collinsworth, but honestly, I would be okay with, because I like Mike Tirico too. But everything in this article is all listing stuff that Amazon does. None of it answers my question.
It's got to be south of
What does MGM have outside of...
Handmaid's Tale, Fargo. Oh, it'd be nice to watch Fargo.
Handmaid's Tale Shark and Fargo. Tank, Survivor, so those would
the Hollywood studio owns the James Bond catalog and has made several hit shows, including but Handmaid's on Hulu. But so then is and so is Fargo.
And Handmaid's Tale is about done.
And I thought Fargo was in this, like Fargo and like Hulu and FXX or FX had like this little marriage right now where they coexist.
It's literally a promo about FX on Hulu. That's right. What they call it. Like, it's a thing.
And FX, if I remember right, was a subsidiary of Fox at one time.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, they took the O out and made another channel out of it.
So it's really...
Including Shark Tank, Survivor, and Real Housewives. Well, I'm sorry, but if you have James Bond and several hit TV shows, including The Handmaid's Tale and Fargo, they overspent.
Yeah,
what
well,
else do they fucking have? To
Survivor's 20 some years old now.
I think you're severely underrating the amount of absolute horses' asses that watch The Real Housewives. That's like seven or eight different shows.
I was married to one for a while. And
there are people who live and die by that shit. And
the people who have subscriptions to Us Weekly and stuff.
Or what's that? The Bachelor. People love that show. Mm-hmm. I've never watched it.
I have. It's garbage.
I have zero interest in it. Well, my wife watches, she started watching like a Road Rules reboot. The Challenge. Thing.
There were some.
Like a reunion show.
Like I watched the first season. I lived in Massachusetts with my Aunt Lori at the time. And we watched the first season of Survivor. And it is like once you get into it. It's hard to turn away.
We've watched several seasons
and it's
of Survivor.
So much different.
But then
now
when
than
you,
it was then.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Those but then if you ones, if you like step back from it and then try to get back into it, it's hard. You almost have to. The only way they keep like legacy viewers is by doing the
All-Star
seasons and shit like that. Yeah,
they bring it. Big Brother's really bad for that on CBS.
See, I never watched that one. I haven't ever watched.
Too. I am very confident that if I could somehow, if I could have luck fall on my side to make it through the physical challenge things, I could absolutely, without question, win Big Brother.
I think you could too.
Yeah.
I
don't know
so
much about the show.
Maybe that says bad things about like my sociopathic tendencies.
No.
And my willingness to use people. But that's the whole game. Like, I'm sorry, if you go into that game acting like that, I don't think that makes you a sociopath, because you are going into the game understanding that all of the people that are in the house with you are merely instruments for you to get $1 million,
right,
or half $1 million, or whatever it is.
Well, that's the premise.
And that's the only way you can do it. You don't go in there to find love. You don't go in there to make friends. You go in there to, as it was the first season.
I wonder if your personal charisma would hold up to that, though, because your part of it is your ability to empathize with the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you were in there looking at them as objects and tools, you might not have that link.
So the very first full season that I watched, this dude named Derek won, and Derek was a police officer who went in under the guise. Nobody knew Derek was a cop until the night that he won the show.
Really?
He went in under this whole false pretense of he was a PE teacher and blah, blah, blah. Didn't want him to know he was a cop because they didn't want him. He didn't want him to know that he had like interrogation techniques and, you know, stuff like that. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to go into the show
as a character.
And that's how you win.
Yeah.
You just go in and you live a fake life for, you know, 90 days or however many days that you're in there. And that helps disconnect you from building real human relationships with the people, because any real human relationship that you build with those people is nothing but an inhibitor to you winning a bunch of money.
Right. Absolutely.
So you go in there with that mindset. And that's why I think I would be able to do it.
But do you think it would ruin what it is that gives you so much personal charisma?
Potentially. But $500,000.
But money.
$500,000 is a small price to pay for sacrificing my humanity, damn it.
But no, I mean, just it's 30 days.
Yeah, and no, it's more than that.
That's the thing I don't get about, like, Survivor. They're on the island for 30 days.
Big Brother is several months.
Is it?
Yeah, it's...
Well, and they stretch Survivor out over 12 weeks for the viewers, so it feels longer.
But
you're like, they're on day four and they're dying.
I know.
And I'm like, what the... Because I used to go on these 7-day backpack trips, and like I was 12 to 17, 18 years old at the time. And like the first couple of years, I get where they're coming from, because like by day two, I was like dying.
My third year doing it,
I was like, this is...
Well, the thing is,
those fucking people do it too. Like, dudes who have been deployed start acting like little bitches after 3 days, and you're like, how is this possible?
Original Survivor is a lot more in line with Naked and Afraid than it is with like what Survivor is now.
Is it?
Back
I remember the dude that won the first season was because he could fish.
Richard Hatch.
And so he was fed the whole time.
Yeah, and that's what it was like. It used to be, if you would go into that kind of a situation, there was a real possibility of you like, oh, we had to pull so-and-so from the game because he was malnourished.
Or that show. Do you ever watch that show Alone?
Yeah, like Alone. That's how Survivor used to be. Now, it's a lot more like an actual game show where... These people are not.
It's funny about
malnourished.
It's funny about Survivor.
To fight for their own fucking food and shit like that. It's not like that anymore.
Probst was going to. He was looking to leave that show within like the first 4 years of it being on the air. He was like, "I'm going to be done hosting. I'm going to move on."
He helped and then create it, and then he was going to move on.
They
to
bought other him in.
Yeah,
and boy, he has not left since, but I think it was the smartest movie ever did, because bet you he's
very
fucking
loaded. He doesn't have to do anything. He gets to sit on a helicopter.
Speaking of don't
start.
Crack, that dude, like, you look at him 20 years ago and you look at him now, there's very little difference between...
I don't know how much of it is his TV persona, but from what I... Because that was another one. Like, when Tabitha was a really big fan of reality TV, quote unquote. And there was a large portion of it that I just wouldn't watch with her, like the Real Housewives shit and, you know, that kind of stuff that just felt so fabricated.
Right.
But then some stuff, like, she got me into Big Brother, which actually interested me. Some of the games they play are really cool. The psychological warfare of figuring out how to get people to trust you enough to want to keep you to the end, but because, like, if you go
but not
to the,
giving enough if, of yourself that you get attached to them.
Well, no. Like in Big Brother, for example, like you have to, when it gets down to the final three, the person who wins that last game, they decide who they want to bring to the finale with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they win their spot into the finale, and then of the other two people, they decide who they're going to bring with them. You have to con these people enough into wanting to bring you to the finale, but also con them enough to think, yeah, you totally want to bring me to the finale because you'll beat me.
Because you think
it's a really delicate balance that you have to walk with them, and it interests
me. So you really just have to win that final game.
And there's a few games in there that, like, if you win it, you borderline lock in for making it to the finals. But Jeff Probst, I like his his persona on the show and stuff. Like, he calls people on their bullshit and he makes snide comments to people while they're failing spectacularly at
Victoria's really screwing this challenge up.
Yeah, it's like, she has got to figure out a way to go faster and like that kind of stuff where they're really backhanded.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know.
Bitch is slow! I like just want Ollie to...
That was what I liked about Rob Lowe on his on the Mind Ninja show. Was the same kind of comment. He does a similar comment.
Mental samurai.
The mind ninja. That's fucking
You
great.
Are the mind ninja.
You are the mind ninja.
That is the... Rob Lowe is the mental samurai. You are... He's now your arch nemesis.
Oh, Jesus.
Now you have to fight ninja. Rob Lowe.
The mind ninja.
I don't know if you can win
that's fun, though. That's
I love it.
Like I said, that Rob Lowe's like the name 20 of a movie years older than
you
are,
but I don't know if you can take him.
He's 55, I think.
That it?
Yeah.
God. Everybody's not as old as I think
he looks good.
I think it's because he was full grown when I was a kid.
That's true. Like, he was already playing like super villains on our movie, on the movies like Wayne's World and Tommy Boy.
Yeah,
he was a villainous character.
That's
already.
Right, he was the bad guy in Tommy Boy.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
And he's another one of those dudes that like aged up really fast and then stopped, like John Hamm. John mm-hmm. Hamm's looked 40 since he was like 23.
Yeah. I remember watching.
But now he's like
when
50
we were kids watching John Hamm, I was like, God, he looks. And Robert Downey Jr. is kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where once, it's like, once he, that guy looks old. Guy's old. But then he just kind of hangs around. He's like, oh, he's not that old. I guess.
Not till like Air America.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he looked really young.
Right.
Like Weird Science. He's obviously only.
And a lot of those slip past, a lot of those shows like The Weird Science, 16 Candles, those were just in the right time frame that they kind of slipped past my radar because I just wasn't at the right age to catch them.
And then a lot of those dudes didn't end up in Breakfast Club, which is the one that everyone saw.
Right. That's the one that everyone saw.
Certain people had Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles, which are almost the same movie, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And but then like Breakfast Club, everybody saw.
Yeah, and I don't think I was aware of half of those movies until I was out of high school.
I think I forced both my children to watch Breakfast Club at least once.
Oh, yeah, we watched Breakfast Club.
And Mars is 2.5, so it really doesn't matter. It's a great movie. She doesn't know.
It has the reputation that has a dude, John Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did he stop making movies?
He died.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
That'll slow
anybody. I know Richard Donner.
That'll slow anybody down.
What's that?
Richard Donner just quit.
Did he?
Yeah, like other than Lethal Weapon movies, he just pretty much gave up making stuff.
I think he's done doing Lethal Weapon too, isn't he?
Yeah, they're talking about doing one more.
Really?
I'd be all right with it. Mel Gibson looks awesome nowadays.
Oh, fuck.
And he's turned the corner. I think he could really embrace some good Murtaugh craziness now.
He could.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd watch that. And, you know, I think he's
he looks like the
he's
bad guy
out of the cancel zone right now.
Oh yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. He's made it back. He's out.
Like
yeah.
he's in.
Well, yeah, because people are supporting Palestine now.
Oh,
we
just
need
got
to
political.
Cancel the Israelis. No, we don't. We just need to stop sending them money and let them fuckers fight it out, and then go clean up the aftermath.
So, Amazon. The Amazon transaction, I think, really is just to be so that they can be, and they already are. So fuck Bezos, and well, he's done with
he's
Amazon,
going to
right?
Space. He's gonna die.
He's gonna you got to tell me about that.
Yeah, I never thought about it the way that you presented it until you did. And
they just wanted to be another place, another streaming service that has this monolithic presence like Disney Plus and HBO. HBO Max, they're in that field right now. Netflix is its own little monster.
Paramount's got their thing going
now. It really
now
fits
where they're,
that moniker, too.
Releasing their theatrical movies like
monster.
45 days.
Monster.
Like, there's some great stuff on there, and there's a lot of shit.
My thing about Netflix is it really is just, it's like someone dumped Goldschlager on a pile of shit. And then you got to pick out all the good stuff to pan.
I wasn't going to jump this far ahead in the notes because I really want to discuss this thing that I saw in the movies. But ads. I've posted it twice on Facebook.
Oh,
and both times
Facebook
that I've posted it on Facebook, I've had people message me and ask me if like my account got hacked or something. If it's because it's that surprising to people. Yeah, I was told you guys, I was watching a Tom Segura stand-up special. I got home from work. I was having my sushi. I was having something to
drink. What plan do you have?
premium.
Really? I haven't had an ad yet.
I haven't either.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't think I've watched anything since I finished Jupiter Legacy.
That was a weird cancellation.
Yeah.
That show must have really done bad numbers.
Lots of money.
It had. There is no reason why they would have canceled it the way that they did.
Not with the way the last season.
Did they set it up for a sequel? It was one. Like I said, it was one I was waiting for. Because
it was an absolute cliffhanger, though. It wasn't even like kind of.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
They did that with
it. Kind of tied off, and there may be something in the future. It was absolutely just cutting it in the middle of the story.
Yeah,
they did that with Sweet Tooth too. But we watched all of that.
Oh, did you finish it?
I don't have a whole lot of.
But it was number. It was number two for the weekend.
My grandpa's watching it.
Robert Downey Jr. produced it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I knew that.
He was like he was spearheading it.
He also made Doolittle.
Fucking Doolittle.
That's true. he can fuck shit up.
Lightning
doesn't strike every time.
I got home,
but it was decent. I liked it.
I got home from work. I was eating my sushi that I brought home from work. And mom and I were watching, she was watching the Tom Segura stand-up special. I think it's Completely Normal. And he was in the middle of a bit, and it just, all of a sudden, the screen went black.
It's worse than YouTube cutting in.
And a little thing showed up along the bottom of the screen that was like a progress bar loading. And as it loaded, white text on top of it said, "Your program will continue in a few moments," or something
after
like that.
These messages.
And it showed me 3.5 minutes of advertisements for, I don't even remember what they were for, because I was so pissed off about it.
Have you had it since? Or have you watched any since?
Well, I got up and got on the computer and
Googled
did
it.
The thing that I told everybody to do through my Facebook thing, which is log into your Netflix account and then go to www.netflix.com/do not test.
Oh, you're the test audience.
Netflix automatically enrolls all of their subscribers in its test audience stuff.
Oh, I'm not there.
And
I must not be there, because I've watched Netflix since we've talked, and I haven't got ads.
It's totally random. I guarantee you, if you logged into your Netflix right now and went to that website, you would have to physically click off no to be removed from it.
You have to go to do not test?
If I remember right, that's where.
Can you do it in the app?
The address is. No.
You have to go online.
You have to go online and do it. You have to go to this specific URL.
I had to do that to drop the video quality on everything.
But it's www.netflix.com/do not test. And you go to the sign-in page, and you
include
sign
me
in
tests and previews. See? Turn this off,
yes,
to be shifted to the standard experience now.
And
I'm turning it off.
Again, I tell you,
done.
This is,
and you have to turn it off, because that tells them fuck you.
Yeah,
this is. People were like,
"I'll do it as soon as I get home."
Did you get hacked, or is this real, or is this an ad or whatever? No, it is 100% real. What gain would I possibly have to lie about the fact that I was watching a comedy?
Because I'm paying
ads on commercials. But yeah,
right now I'm paying $18 month
premium account,
because I pay, because I have four, I have
so
three
you can
kids
have four people watch. It's the only reason why I don't even have a 4K TV.
I don't have a 4K TV
four
either,
people watch
either. It's so I can have but I could even cut it back, because I
same boat. And I honestly, I thought about cutting it back while I was looking at it, because I was so pissed off about it.
Yeah. What do you need more than one screen
I spend
for? I understand, because your kids are.
But I don't need it anymore. I don't think, because my kids watch YouTube.
There's
enough other stuff that,
now,
like,
that
no one's
going to
boot me.
Yep.
But when Netflix was like one of the only ones out there, then it was like we'd always run up against it.
I
could probably cut it back.
And admittedly, I don't spend all of it, because I pay for some and my mom pays for some, and we share each other's, login information and stuff. But Netflix is of the, I have Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, and wait, is that it? I had Paramount Plus that I shared from Morgan, but Morgan canceled her Paramount Plus, unfortunately. And Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Cause you don't think about Prime, because you use it to order shit.
Yeah. Netflix is the most expensive monthly of the bunch. It has, in my opinion, the lowest quality content of those four.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay more than the $7 I
pay.
And
you're giving
me
fucking ads. Fuck you.
Eat
so
a
hard.
Dong.
I got to figure out how many you can stream on the standard or basic, because I would scale
back. Basic is one.
Basic is one. Standard, I believe, is two.
I could go. I could save $4 and go down to standard.
I think I could probably,
because I also share it with my dad.
Well, but because, like you said, it used to be of like Netflix was the only streaming service that we had. So
right. So my kids are watching something on Netflix at the same time I am. But one of us is playing while they're watching video games. One of us is watching. Yeah, right. And my son.
And if you log in while it's going, and while somebody else is watching something, it tells you you need to upgrade.
Yeah, it tells you.
So you can just go to a different streaming service and catch up on a different show.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'll even jump to basic.
Go for
and see what happens.
And then
I'll learn. And then I'll learn.
Isn't basic non-HD, though? Isn't it standard def?
Eyes aren't strong enough. My eyes aren't good enough.
Okay.
Not even on grandpa's TV.
$9 versus $18. That's a $7 savings. And fuck, shit adds up.
But on my 55-inch?
Yeah, fuck you.
On my
it's a $9.
On my 55-inch through my Xbox, you can't notice a difference.
Okay, I thought the same thing when I was in there checking it out. I was like, man, I could probably kick back to 2 years.
I'm doing it. I'm going to see what happens.
And the difference
this
that
is
you
a
notice?
Live fuck you to Netflix.
And the difference that you notice
I won't
is
notice
the amount
until
of data
7-2.
You use every month. Because I have hit the cap several times.
You're on a cap plan still?
Yeah.
Cable
One Sparklight's all cap.
Oh, no, there's an unlimited plan.
Yeah, but it's absurdly priced. It's like $120 a month.
I have it because my work pays for part of mine.
Oh, there you go.
So.
But, yeah.
I paid the extra.
What was mine? I had the $80 a month plan, so you got 800 gigs.
Oh, I'd eat that in a minute because my kids are fucking on all the time.
But I went through all of my streaming services. You have to go through their website.
Yeah, you
got to
go through their settings
and you can
change everything to low.
Only streams the lowest. I don't notice a difference, except I never buffer.
Yeah. No, I had a thing a couple – when we were capped – like I was, like my kids coined me the bandwidth police because I was always on their ass.
Yeah.
So one of the things that that's been nice about upgrading the unlimited plan is it's taken away the need for me to be the fucking bandwidth police because
I was
on their ass all the time.
It's one of the reasons why I pay extra money for my Verizon plan for Matthew and I's phone to have unlimited data is I don't want to have to once a month be like, you got this much left. If I catch you using your phone without the Wi-Fi or what? And
yeah.
It's a convenience fee, is how I look at it.
Yeah, that makes
my
sense.
Phone does whatever the fuck I want it
I
to
don't
do
have to fight
whenever
with my
I want it to do,
that.
And I never, I never have to worry about it.
All right, July 2nd, it happens. We'll see what happens. I think we'll be fine.
I think you'll be fine too.
Because we don't use.
I think when
it
I go home, I think I'm going to do the same thing actually. Because I used to share my Netflix account with people outside the house, but none of them share it anymore. They all have their own accounts.
Now the only people who use it
are me and my kids and my mom and my sister.
Let's talk about this in a future show to see how it worked
with
out.
With those people.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. This is a good...
I've converted two people to basic Netflix tonight.
I'm glad. I won't go basic. I won't go basic.
I went basic.
But you're basic.
I'll go to the standard... For the two people I can justify. One, I'm
trying basic. I'm going to see what happens. I want to see what happens.
I don't watch enough.
And I wasn't going to pick on you guys, but y'all motherfuckers need to go see the optometrist or something because I definitely noticed the difference between 480 and 720. I don't know.
I definitely
had that issue on my tablet just last night when I was watching one of that wrestling with
regret. I notice it on like
the focus is soft.
No, I notice it on like YouTube,
mm-hmm.
but on my Netflix I don't.
Okay, well I'll check it out.
I have an 86-inch TV. Told you that?
Yeah, I know, and I hate you so much for it. I'm so jealous. I'm gonna outdo you.
I hope Grandpa's listening.
120-inch TV.
Grandpa's trying to force Mom into letting him mount a 85-inch on the wall upstairs.
It's a beautiful thing. I love it.
The guys from Red Letter Media got a 120-inch one. And it's so pretty. I want it so bad.
How are those curved ones? Have you seen the curved ones?
I know my dad's cousin has one, and they're okay, but I don't, like, I have, like, this is a curved monitor.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, I don't care.
Okay.
It doesn't, like, I'm not like, ooh.
Ooh, it's curves.
No, I was watching Wrestling with Regret last night.
Barely.
He was doing a retrospective pay-per-view thing about, it was some WCW pay-per-view from 2000. It was like one of the last pay-per-views they did before the company went under. And I was like, God, what does this look like? Shit. And it was because my YouTube thing was set to auto quality. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the auto quality was
320p.
It was 244, actually.
Ooh, ouch.
And I was like, God, this looks terrible. So I went in and I clicked it to 480. And I was like, this doesn't really look a whole lot better. And I clicked to 720. And then I was
YouTube, I can tell.
But YouTube
every
might
single
be,
video.
YouTube might be different than...
When I've been on Netflix, I haven't lost much in terms of what I feel
now
the quality
I'm
is.
Now
and
I'm interested.
Part of that might be because I just read subtitles.
I'm going to go home and change my Netflix as well.
We need to circle back to this and see how it worked out. See if I had, like, I want to be able to be like, I had to go back to
the standard so I could get 4K, even though I don't have a 4K TV because I really can't handle not seeing every crease in their face. The crevasse does not hold up in standard definition.
You know, but I might be appreciative of the fact that I can watch things at a pace. Like, I don't have buffering issues that much, but every once in a while.
I don't know.
There were 400 people on the Wi-Fi.
Really great HD quality viewing experience, and now it's deteriorated.
Yeah.
Because I noticed when I download movies, I don't download the 1080p ones. I download the 720 ones because they take up significantly less space.
Oh, yeah, me
too. And it's not... in my opinion, the jump from 480 to 720 is noticeable. The jump from 720 to 1080 is
But I think 720 is the standard now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, you can see differences.
Oh, basic is 480.
Yeah.
And I see, it doesn't bother me.
We'll see how it goes. I'm switching to basic. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how big.
We'll report back.
It's $7.
We'll report back.
But it's $7 a month.
It's $8, actually. I'm going to be saving.
Is it?
Yeah. That's a fucking value meal. Well, yeah, happy meal nowadays.
Those kind of things, though, you got to equate it by the year, not the month. That's $100 a year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's noticeable. I watched Cruella last night. Topical.
For the segment Ron watched.
Yes. We need to come up with some kind of an intro for that.
Get an echo.
I know a guy.
I honestly liked it in spite of myself.
I've heard nothing but good things.
I didn't.
Like, it didn't try and humanize her, really.
I wouldn't totally agree with that.
Yeah.
They do definitely.
I'm not going to give them $20.
I don't know how. I downloaded it.
That's what I will do.
And I double checked with Dad today, actually, because when I was in Winchester, I went up to take stuff to Mom, but Dad and Kelly were also camping in Winchester at the same time, laughably enough. So we were visiting with them as well, and I double checked with Dad, because Dad, if you need to know anything about Disney, Dad is the person to go to. And I was like, now correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a long time since I've watched the animated 101 Dalmatians, but as I remember, Cruella was pretty hardcore gung-ho about killing the puppies.
Drown them, skin them,
whatever it was. And they really kind of downplay that in this movie.
But she wasn't old yet, was she?
Well, no, she wasn't old yet. So I'm sure she had more time to
embrace. I know I get more bitter every year.
The Cruella aspect of her personality and whatnot. But there's a joke, actually. They make light of it in this movie where the Baroness, who's played by Emma Thompson, which if there's any reason to watch the movie, it's for Emma Stone and Emma Thompson. They both are just fucking great. They choose scenery in the best way possible.
Well, half of the shit that's come out on Premiere is already out.
Yeah.
So I can wait.
Do you drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. But they're fantastic. So Emma Thompson's character has these three Dalmatians. And the joke in the movie is that Cruella winds up kidnapping them for reasons that I won't even bother getting into. And she shows up at an event because there's this lengthy portion. The movie is way too long. It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Why has everything got to be so long? Why did they do that?
And there's this extended period in the movie where Cruella is consistently upstaging the Baroness. And that's the whole, like, that's the crux of this sequence of the movie. And it's overdone. It's drawn out for too long. But part of it is she shows up to this thing and she's wearing a dress that looks like it was made with part of Dalmatian fur, like it's spotted like a Dalmatian and stuff. And so they're like, oh, she killed her dogs and skinned them and made a coat out of it and whatnot. And she jokes, I wouldn't actually do that and blah, blah, blah. So they kind of try to downplay the whole dog murderer aspect of her personality.
Or she wouldn't do that at that point.
Yeah, she hasn't crossed that line yet. But they had to have spent an insane amount of money on music rights because the music in the movie is it is more pervasive than like the Guardians movies in terms of the music driving parts of the story.
Really?
But there's also some really, really great musical choices. The closest likeness I could give would be if you took the movie The Devil Wears Prada, which is, I'm not its target audience at all, but it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. Anne Hathaway kills it. Meryl Streep kills it.
I was wondering if the two parallel, I couldn't come up with the title of the movie.
Dress Devil Wears Prada up with like the 70s punk British movement, and you have Cruella. There's an alarming amount of similarities between the two.
So
but
it's
again,
like Devil Wears Prada meets Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork? I watched it because it was a family movie that none of us had seen, and the kids and I could sit down and watch it together. I didn't really expect to like it, which I did. And it is, as Tori and I were talking about, it's not a family movie. It's a movie made specifically for people who grew up on the 101 Dalmatians animated movie to now watch as an adult, not necessarily with their kids, because there's not really much in the movie that is geared towards young children at all. But, like I said, honestly, would I recommend it? Yes. Absolutely. Weirdly enough, I would. I enjoyed the movie. There were things wrong with it, but it was a good time. The fat guy that plays, I can't remember which one is Horace and which one is Jasper, but he was the fat, schlubby comic relief in the recent season of Cobra Kai. He was in I, Tonya. He was the lead in that Clint Eastwood movie about the Atlanta bomber.
Oh,
and I can't remember his name, but
he's in the Umbrella Academy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe I'll have to give
Cobra
that a try.
Kai, that's one of the reasons I canceled Netflix.
The first thing I saw him in was I, Tonya, and he was fucking fantastic
in
it.
He
was her security guard, the fat security guard dude. And he's been great in everything I've seen him in. And he, again, continues in Cruella.
Cameron Britton. He's great. He plays Hazel in Umbrella Academy.
No. His name is, he's got a three-name.
Let me find out then. I guess I must be wrong.
Look up Cobra Kai. Basil Wiggins?
It is Paul Walter Hauser.
Okay.
Yeah, that dude.
He was in I, Tonya, Richard Jewell, Cruella.
Who was he in Richard Jewell?
Stinky. He was Richard Jewell.
Okay. The main dude. So I think
he is genuinely fucking hilarious and a really talented guy. Like he's getting to that point of being somebody that like I'll watch something that he's in just because he's in it.
Mm. Okay, now I want to hear this Dr. Giggles thing because you've been selling it in the
chat.
No,
I've been really excited.
I want it. Let's close out with this one.
Okay, so Dr. Giggles is a 1992 horror movie that's available on Amazon Prime. If you're in the mood for a bad horror movie with some not too great gore but a lot of really good puns, check it out. It's worth your time. It's only like 80 minutes long. It shares a lot of similarities with other like late 80s. After Freddy Krueger got big and they started trying to like
giggly Freddy Krueger or initial?
giggly okay. Freddy Krueger. After they started to franchise Freddy Krueger, and everything turned into trying to franchise your horror character, they had to be quippy. They had to have a shtick. There was the leprechaun. There's a fuck ton of them. Well, Dr. Giggle's whole thing was that he was a doctor. His dad was killed by the townsfolk for killing people, and he gets out of a mental institution and comes back 35 years later and starts killing teenagers in the town. It's a fucking non-story, basically.
People in the 80s hated teenagers.
Holly Marie Combs, the gal that was one of the leads in Charmed, plays the main character. She's really the only person of note in it. But
I thought the dude was from Darkman. Wasn't that the guy that was in... Not Liam Neeson, but the bad guy from Darkman. Declan, or...
Is it?
I could have sworn when you... that's who I thought I saw. I can't look it up. I don't have internet on my phone. The guy that plays Dr. Giggles. I thought he was the...
Holy shit, it is!
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn, okay, it is.
That little mole?
Yeah, Larry Drake.
Yeah. But it was... What was his name in Darkman? Durant?
Yeah, Robert Durant. Yeah, it is Durant from... Wow, man. Okay. Failure on my part.
Tight eyes on old Huds.
It's fucking... Yeah.
Get it to fucking together, man.
It's... anyway, so Durant from Darkman plays Dr. Giggles, and he's killing all these teenagers, as they do in these movies back then. And the part of the movie that I was talking about, main character is... Her and her friends are kind of being chased, victimized by Dr. Giggles, but not like so specifically that they're like on the run yet. And one of the tertiary characters goes with his girlfriend back to his house to fool around, because that's what teenagers do in these movies. And
so teenagers do
so many doctor puns, to the point that when he walks into his house with his girlfriend, his little brother's sitting in the living room playing Dr. Mario. Like, it's that many doctor puns. You think this is bad? You should see my bill. And just all kinds of shit. It's really punny. And
this
and
is worse than my handwriting.
Hilarious. But now this is going to, you're going to feel a slight pinch. You know, that kind of shit.
Stabs their fucking eye out.
Stabs a lady in the throat, actually. so they go back to dude's house to fool around. And they get up into his room. And again, it's 1992, so it's still in the middle of the kind of the AIDS scare and stuff. So she makes a comment about him having a condom, and he's like, "What for?" And
92, they don't know Magic Johnson's fate yet.
Yeah, and
they don't realize he got the cocktail.
So
he's like the AIDS barometer.
The AIDS barometer.
The Magic Johnson number is.
He argues with her about putting on a condom, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go in the bathroom and put on a condom. And he reaches under his mattress, and he pulls this thing out, and he goes to hand it to her, and he's like, put this on while I'm there. And she starts to unfold it, and she's like, what is it?
It's a nurse's outfit.
It is black lingerie that he informs her he swiped from his mom's laundry so that she could wear for him.
Wow.
So he steals his mom's fucking nightie to give to his girlfriend so he can plow his girlfriend in his mom's lingerie. And it only gets better from there. He goes into the bathroom to put his condom on, which for any of you listening, that's not how condoms work. But anyway, he goes into the bathroom to put his condom on. Standing over the toilet, he rips the condom open and it drops into the toilet. So the girl, it keeps cutting back and forth between the girl and him. And the girl is like grossed out by the fact that her boyfriend wants her to.
So she understands.
Hold on. She understands that this is fucking weird.
There's a whole other side conversation. That's not how condoms work. Like what are you talking about?
Like you don't get up and excuse yourself.
No. That's a quick that's a quick transaction.
Yeah.
Because if you go to the bathroom to put it on, then coming back, you're done.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
not a circulation.
That is not how condoms work. You don't just go put it on and then I'm going to put my condom on before I go to the party and see what happens. Like, it's not how it works. I put it on and rubber banded it around there a few times, and it kind of hurts a little bit, but I feel protected.
I'm not even hard yet, but I've got one rolled down the old schlonger.
So he's in the bathroom, and he rips the condom open, and it falls into the toilet, and he's like, oh, shit. And she's in the bedroom being grossed out by the fact that he wants her to wear his mom's underwear, but she's like, whatever, and she kind of goes with it. And so she puts it on and starts to get under the covers. Well, you don't see it happen, but there's interesting things happening with him in the bathroom, but Dr. Giggles kills her and dispatches her real quickly, and he hides under the covers waiting for the guy. So the dude's in the bathroom with the condom in the toilet. He pulls his toothbrush out of the toothbrush holder, and he, for whatever reason, like, this is your toothbrush, this is the part that you brush with. He uses the part that you brush with to scoop the condom out of the toilet instead of using the hand part.
Folks, for the folks at home, that goes in your mouth.
And
the part that you brush with.
He scoops up the condom, and it's full of water, and it's like leaking these two little lines out of it. So obviously the condom isn't going to work anyway. And he goes, fuck. And he drops it back into the toilet, and he's like, maybe she won't notice. Ew. Anyway, like, for starters, ew. This whole fucking thing, starting with you wanting your girlfriend to wear your mom's undies, is ew.
She's and unable to have a child now anyway, there. So it doesn't
so
matter.
So he drops the condom back into the toilet, takes his toothbrush, which he just fished a rubber out of piss water in, puts it back in the toothbrush holder, doesn't clean it off at all, just puts it back in there, and is like, whatever. Closes the toilet lid, says, maybe she won't notice, and walks back into the bedroom. So there's just a whole lot of ooh going on. And the whole scene, like, crescendos with him telling her. And it grosses me out to even. It's so gross. She's under the covers, he thinks. And as he's lifting up the covers to climb in bed with her, he says something to the effect. And I can't remember if I'm quoting this word for word, but it's close enough for government work. Ever since I saw this in my mom's Victoria's Secret catalog, I've been waiting for this moment. So, like, he plotted his mom buying these undies so that he could steal his mom's underwear and put them on his girlfriend.
And then he gets plowed by Dr. Giggles,
right? And then he climbs under the sheets, and Dr. Giggles is there, and he goes, I hope you brought protection. And he cuts the dude's dick off, and the guy bleeds out and dies.
Oh, so it's a feel-good, happy story.
Well, I mean, it don't try to get your girlfriend to sleep with you in your mom's undies, and you won't get attacked by a crazy doctor.
You won't get your Johnson.
But it was one of those things. And again,
a pre-screener to the Dexter revival?
I don't know that any descriptions can really do it justice unless you just break it down. Like, Tori and I were talking about it after the fact when we watched the movie, because I had to pause it. I was so. I was laughing so hard, and I was so revolted by all of it that, like, I needed a short reprieve, because I was like, okay, so I'm a character, and I'm going to bring my girlfriend back to my... For one, any girl that you brought back to your house that you handed her lingerie to is immediately going to be a little bit suspect, because you are a high school kid who... Why do you have lingerie? Where did you get this? And for you to just brazenly lead with, nah, man, they're my mom's drawers, put them on, like, is, right?
Yeah.
Girl, nothing makes me harder.
And then to double down on it, forget about all the gross condom shit and scooping your toothbrush in the toilet and all that, because that just adds to the grossness of what's going on, because ew. But to double down on it and be like, man, I've been planning this out, praying my mom would order these panties so that I could steal them and put you in them. Like, it. Yeah, dude. Like,
it's real horror, folks.
It's gross.
So, what can you stream this on?
Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Guess what Ward's watching?
Guess what I'm watching.
And it's really, like, there's some really genuinely funny puns in it. The kills aren't really all that great.
Honestly, it's just, I'm curious now.
But even if you just watch that scene,
right?
It's so, like, it's one of those things that you have to, if you attack it from the perspective of somebody who is making movies, somebody wrote that in a script and was like, nah, man, here's my movie. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
No Spanx.
So gross. So gross. What kind of a person
Yeah.
And I mean, they don't paint the guy in like a, obviously they don't paint him in, he's not like the, Tori and I were arguing through the whole movie because her boyfriend was a piece of shit and she kept going back to him and giving him chances. And Tori was just fucking pissed during the whole movie. This guy's going to live through the whole movie. And I was like, no, he's the boyfriend in a slasher movie. He's going to be the last one or like the second to last one to die. She's like, no, they're giving their relationship way too much screen time and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's because he's the boyfriend. He's going to die. How many slasher movies have you seen? They always die.
Like, how many have you seen with Ron?
And well, yeah.
Probably more than yeah. 15.
And they
speaking
always,
of torture.
They all, yeah. Come over to my house on a Saturday night and sit down with what I load up on.
I don't
crime.
Like true crime.
That's torture.
I don't like true crime. No, I like fake crime because it's fun.
In a movie, you know, normally when you hear about things being gross in movies or, like, so disgusting in movies, you think about, like, gore or like a lot of the old like Lucio Fulci's Italian stuff from the 70s, like Zombie, and I can't remember the name of the guy that did Cannibal Holocaust back in that mm-hmm. same time period, where there's like real animal cruelty in the movies, like they actually kill real live animals and film it and it's part of the movie. Like, that shit's fucked up. That's really hard to watch.
Yeah. There's some westerns you watch nowadays where they're like really rough on the horses, and I'm like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
they would get like,
dude, in Cannibal Holocaust, the people that they
sometimes you feel kind of sorry for the horse.
The people that they filmed, yeah. they were down in Brazil, and they just drug this turtle out of the Amazon and proceeded to hack it apart.
Wow!
In the movie, like, and it's yeah, and that kind of stuff. That's upsetting and weird to watch.
Because there aren't any rules in the jungle. Only the law of the jungle.
Gore in movies and stuff.
First rule of the jungle.
Really get me in that way. But for some reason, I don't know, it was like the thought process and the logic behind this dressing my girlfriend up in my mom's panties was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's just...
It's a step.
There's some weird shit leaking into my movies.
Yeah.
It's a step beyond some weird shit going on from the screenwriter.
This makes me feel dirty watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, that was how it was. I was like, this is gross.
Are you telling like my skin's crawling?
Wrapping the show with Ron kink shaming some dude from the 90s?
And I am not. I have not one to kink shame. I am not.
We gotta put a doorstop on the Generations part two because there's just so much.
There is so much there.
Yeah.
To unpack there, but I do want to talk about the Ketchum Tent City.
Oh, this
yeah, no,
tent
I
city
wanted
nonsense.
To hear about this because I didn't actually read this article.
Initially, like I wasn't sure where you landed on your. Like, general position of it.
That's how I would like to leave people most of the time. Unless we're on the show.
Keep them guessing.
I like to
be... That's why I didn't ask.
Oh.
It's because I wanted to come into the show without knowing what your position on it was.
So I'm not...
Where is Ketchum?
It's...
it's in Idaho.
Yeah, well, I know
near
that.
Near Sun Valley. Obviously. It's one of those...
is it north or south?
In a town south where some of the wealthiest people in the country lavish... keep lavish homes glittering and vast against a backdrop of sweeping mountains. Officials are mulling over a plan to allow Ketchum's nurses, teachers, and service workers to sleep in tents in the city park as rent and housing costs continue to soar out of their grasp.
See, that's if when you're you just a nurse pick up and
you
and
can't. Yeah, yeah. If you're a nurse and you can't afford rent in the town you're living in, go be a nurse somewhere.
There's
else.
A guy quoted in the article who's an advertising executive. And he can't afford a two-bedroom.
Okay. Here's a good example. I was having this conversation with mom and dad today when I was up at Winchester because we were talking about looking for a place to live. There are, if you go on like Facebook and stuff like that, and this is just if the kids and I were looking for a place. This mm-hmm. is not factoring into Tori and I talking about moving in together and all that kind of stuff. This is just me and the kids. If I wanted to go and get a three-bedroom apartment or house or whatever to rent in this town, 90% of the places that you're going to rent from have all of the weird rental agency things about you have to have a credit score this high. You have to make triple the rent to be able to live there. if I were still working at CCI and were promoted as a machinist setup, not just a grunt working on the line, I still, by myself, wouldn't make enough money per month to be able to have the kids and I live in a three-bedroom, $1,200 a month apartment.
Yeah.
And that's a quote-unquote good career-type job.
Yeah.
If people who are working those kind of jobs can't afford to pay rent in your average place in your town, something is fucked.
Well, yeah, that's where I see the issue with it. I just looked at the population for Ketchum.
Yeah,
it's under 3,000 people.
That was a couple years ago.
2,827.
So in 2018, maybe it's at 3 now. Maybe.
Well, that sign says 3,800.
3,873.
Oh.
In the bottom right-hand corner.
Oh, okay. Well, so there you go.
That's fucking nothing.
That's 30,000 less people than here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good day.
The town I grew up in had a population of 300 to 400 people. Mm-hmm. And Idaho is famous for not paying their teachers very mm-hmm. much money. I know this. My wife's a teacher.
Yeah. I was going to say you live personally.
And especially in rural towns.
Yeah.
Because she works in a small town that's a population that's consistent with that. And like the wage disparity between that town and like the town that we live in, Lewiston, Idaho, is vast. Like talking like 15, 20 grand.
Oh,
oh shit. Let's not do that.
No.
Wow.
Don't hover over an ad.
Yeah.
So anyway,
they build. Keep scrolling.
They want to build a tent.
They want to build a tent city,
or allow them to put up their own tents.
Pitch
I think
came
is the...
last week is one of several suggestions during a contentious special city council meeting on how to tackle the increasingly dire affordable housing situation in Ketchum. Central Idaho town in the heart of Blaine County has long been a vacation destination for the ultra rich, but boasts medium home income or medium home pricing. Listing prices of $905,000?
Yeah.
That's insane.
But normally what? I'm not one who gives a shit if people from California move up here, because I've met a lot of people who left California to live up here, and they're fantastic people. They didn't like the way things were going down there. They moved up this way because Idaho's a little more in line with what they believe.
Typically, yeah.
But this is...
This is trying to basically push people out of what they can afford.
They're gentrifying Ketchum.
They're setting up an Idaho version of Skid Row.
Which is basically a place you drive through and fart and you're done.
No, that's like, yeah.
That's it.
That's
there's nothing there.
That's what they did with Skid Row in LA was they couldn't keep fighting the homeless problem, so instead they were like, well, we can't win the battle against the homeless, so what we're going to do move all the homeless to this one spot. We're going to force them to congregate in this one spot.
Right. No, what you need to do is build a government within that city that affords the people the ability to
or homeless
shelters. If you're a teacher, you don't have to pay.
Oh, what's see, I don't think that.
I don't know.
You move.
Let the town die. Let the town die. Let those fucking rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them have nothing.
Let them have a beautiful house with nothing around.
Then they can pay for private school or whatever. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Let the market
bear that out. Because if you can't afford a place to live, you got to move your shit anyway. You might as well move it somewhere.
Move somewhere you can afford to live.
Oof. But no, I agree with what you're saying. It's absolutely absurd.
The tent city thing? No, I'm not going to live impoverished so that I can teach your fucking spoiled brat kids.
Fuck that.
Your maladjusted rich kids had it.
Well, and that was so. As I was talking earlier today, so if you go by the rental agency rules and say, well, the rent here is $1,200 a month and you need to make three times that per month, you show me a person in this town, you show me a person really anywhere who doesn't live in a major metropolitan area who makes $4,000 a month who's renting.
Right.
Nobody. Because if you're making $4,000 a month, you're in a financial position where you can buy a home.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be tight, but yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Really, it dumbfounds me.
dumb.
$1,200 for rent is insane.
Yeah.
That's a house payment.
Yeah, dude. That's less than a lot of people I know pay on
my
their house.
I round up when I pay my house payment, and I pay $1,300.
Yeah, and you have, I mean, you don't have a mansion or anything, but you have a spacious house with a fucking huge garage and a pool and shit like that.
And enough room to keep chickens.
Like, we had a down payment. Yeah, but still.
It's not like you're living in a fucking double wide single level. I mean, seriously.
You're not paying $2,900 a month.
Your house payment is the equivalent of a 3-bedroom or 2-bedroom apartment in those new apartment complexes that are next to P1FCU on Southway.
Right. And there's a big fucking disparity between amenities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's a big disparity between those two things.
Yeah. I know a guy lives there and he's got a wall or a window air conditioning.
They're like, what are amenities?
What are those?
And their solution is to put these people up in tents.
Yeah, you can. Camping's
like what?
You know, camping's fun.
I love camping.
Camping is fun. You guys can roast hot dogs.
They're describing glorified. They're like posh homelessness.
Yeah, I mean,
they can walk across the street. It says in there, if you scroll up.
But shit, how great would your camping experience be if you didn't have to pay a house payment?
Have you heard of a Dutch oven? Dutch ovens are great.
Ketchum Mayor Neil Bradshaw.
I love Dutch ovens.
There's a bathroom in the park after all. Sure. They could walk over to the YMCA to take a shower before work.
Yeah, that's so such a gonna, fucking...
Oh, that's your solution. That is
so every day, I almost kill myself.
Be like, oh, the presents have no bread to eat. Let them eat cake.
So they don't have bread, let them eat cake. The nurse and the geometry teacher have to go over to the Y to take showers with the crackhead who, like, what the fuck?
The crackhead whose boyfriend punched her out. Like,
yeah. Man, scratching himself.
Yeah.
Wow. Shit like that makes me really, really proud to be an American.
But no, that's why the French Revolution happened. The nobility was just, oh, let the peasants eat cake if they can't have any bread. No.
Yeah, fuck that.
No, thank you.
Wow. Man, that's...
Yeah, just leave.
Yeah,
like, put your shit in your car.
Why would you not? Especially in the current climate where everybody is hiring, literally everybody. Especially if you have a learned skill like a teacher or a nurse or something like that.
Yep.
Go somewhere where you can actually be valued and afford to fucking live somewhere. That's insane.
It's absurd. Like. And this is happening, you know, 5-6 hours from here.
And I thought that the rent prices in this town were out of this world.
And they're stupid.
And they are. They're laughable. But Christ, I mean, I guess it's not that bad. But Jesus,
yeah,
that's just
that rich city eat itself.
Yeah, seriously, man. Like Huds was saying when you went out to pee, just move.
Just seriously. Get out.
Let the town die. Let it be their problem.
It's not
problem.
Like there isn't a teacher shortage everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like service industry jobs need to stay in a place like Ketchum.
No.
And I assume that some of those people who are in service jobs are making good money because of the 4,000 people there, half of them are all just super rich and they're eating out all the time. So you probably make great tips. But... Obviously, not enough to afford
the service industry probably does better than teachers, nurses.
Yeah.
Because they get tips.
Because they get tips. Well, and they get probably big tips because we live in a society now where that type of wealth, if it is that wealthy of a town, they've been kind of instructed to tip good or tip well.
Nobody wants to be the one that pops up on Twitter of like, oh man,
with a picture of their receipt. Yeah. Yeah. I tip.
Brad Pitt this weekend.
I tip it like the small tip for me is 12%. That's a low, like that's me like kind of not happy with my service.
That's insulting.
Even
to a lot of people think they need people their tip.
Yeah, if I tip 12% now, I'm like, that's me saying, you fucked this up.
Yeah. I was a tipper. I was a tipper prior to working in the service industry in general, just because I think it's good
practice. I tipped, but like the tipping percentage has gone way out of hand.
I'm a Mr. Pink. I hate the idea of tipping, but I tip 20%.
I tip most of the time 20%. If, like I said, if I'm not happy with the service, I'm tipping 12. But they're still getting food's fucking expensive. They're still getting.
I got a 45.
I have a family of five. Nice. Yeah, I have a family of five. So if I'm tipping 12%, they're still getting $10 maybe.
Exactly.
And maybe there's a lot of times when I hate my service and I still do the 20% because that's what people expect. And I live in a society.
I am more prone to say something to the server than I am to tip poorly.
Mm. And but I don't I think
yeah we've still complained and still tipped well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't even complain because it doesn't do any good.
People don't respond to it. I don't usually either, but
there's been times that what's that?
Was that one only half full?
No, this is a 24-ounce glass.
So I don't even have I don't know. I don't even have words for this. I
think it's just something absurd we wanted to bring up.
It's astounding to me that
this is actually happening.
Yeah.
What was supposed to be a shortstop measure turned into a 94-day ordeal? I don't know.
They stayed in Ketchum, waited for the darkness of the night to get on
Trail Creek Road when it is not clear to the snow. They drove out of their camp and they camped out into January.
Yeah, fuck you. I don't care how bad the snow is. I'm fucking gone. You can take your...
No. Yeah, no. Okay, so...
Another man who worked at the Montessori school commuted 220 miles each day from mountain home to Ketchum and back again. After months of that drive, unable to find any clothes or housing, he quit. You really expect me to believe...
Months?
A 220-mile commute. That is on that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that guy is...
That is on that guy. Yeah. I don't have sympathy for that. If you are an accredited enough teacher to be able to teach at a Montessori school... You can find. Unless you've got
so 220, I'm guessing that's there and back.
You gotta have some 110. Really fucked up, unique personal circumstances that force you to stay in that kind of a situation,
or you have to like where you're at,
or something. I don't understand.
I don't know.
That's
maybe it's cheaper to live 110 miles away.
It can't be.
I won't do a 110 or a 220 round trip commute. Ever.
That's
a,
my wife has been doing 80
highway driving
for
still almost 4 hours.
7 years, and she's ready to be done.
If it's highway driving, that's still almost 4 hours.
Yeah,
that's no. There's no amount of salary that you could be offered for that. You want to really almost sweeten my salary? Let me fucking live in the facility. That'll sweeten my salary.
Yeah, you know what happened?
Give me a caretaker's apartment.
Yeah, something like that.
So we went to, as a side story, we went to Disneyland in 2016, and we're driving down in the streets of LA,
mm-hmm.
and we're just jammed up in traffic for what feels like forever to me. And by then, I'm working from home.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine living in that part of the country, like living in the Los Angeles area, and having to get myself to work every day.
Because
some people have like hours long commutes to get to work.
Yeah.
Mine in Hawaii was awful.
Yeah.
If I couldn't get out of there by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I wouldn't get home until 7.
Yeah.
And if I didn't leave at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would be late for
people. So I have to like
but if I left at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was 10 minutes across the island.
Right.
But it's so many people congested, trying to get on so little road.
Yeah.
Because it's such a small place with so many people.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I have to think about that sometimes when I like get pissed about my job and I'm like, you know, I get to get up in the morning and walk 5 feet.
My commute is in my underwear.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So,
yeah.
So that is one thing that I do take for granted sometimes, especially when I get frustrated. I'm like, yeah, but I have.
No,
really fortunate circumstances that most people don't have.
You know, you have friends that live over in the Seattle area and stuff like that, and you go over and visit them. And, like, I'll spend a week with Gary and Ryan, and it's like, oh, well, we want to go to this store, but we're in Puyallup, but this store's in Renton, this store is actually in Seattle, this store is da-da-da, and it's like, well, we're going to Costco, so it only takes 5 minutes because there's a Costco from us, but if we want to go to whatever store, it's a 45-minute drive.
I get really in an annoyed mood when I think I have to go to Clarkston for something. Like, I'm like, now I have to plan a shopping trip,
yeah,
and it's a 15-minute drive.
See, I'm not that bad.
No, I'm really possessive of my time.
But I,
and so, like,
some of the shit that I'm,
my,
like,
planning revolves around,
like, even commuting to Schweitzer. That.
They moved the fucking Burger King.
That
I'm not okay with that.
Driving
I am,
to Pullman,
but it's close to me now.
But I wouldn't drive to Pullman.
Day. No, I wouldn't either.
Because that hill is a bitch in the winter, and I don't want to deal with it.
For one, it's unsafe, and a lot of people die on it. For two, if you have a 40-minute commute both ways, rounded up, that's 2 hours. So now, instead of working 4 10-hour shifts, or in some cases, 5 10-hour shifts, now you're working 12s.
Yeah, my wife does it going to Orofino every day for four days a week.
I don't.
But you get into podcasts and audiobooks, and you got that time covered. Like, it's not like you're wasting it like it used to be.
My wife listens to more podcasts now than she ever used to. She still doesn't listen to our show, but that's okay.
That is okay. We say a lot of really abrasive things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that fills her downtime.
Yeah.
In that drive. So, I mean, and she's been doing it willfully. It's not like,
see, and
everybody's like, I don't know how you can make that drive. Well, she's like, I do because I do.
I suppose part of it is like, it's time for you to decompress from where you were just leaving.
That's how we rationalize it initially.
But what is anything but your perspective on it?
I have a question in regards to that notion, specifically for you, in terms of decompressing after work.
Yes.
The only time that
happen?
The only time that I, and this is my own personal experience, the only time that I ever needed to decompress after work was when I didn't want to go home. I needed to decompress because
to prepare for home.
I was leaving the rigors and the chores of work, and I knew that I was going home. It was when things were really bad in my marriage, and it was that. Oh well, I could go this way and it'd take me 5 minutes to get home, or I could go this way and it'd take me 10 minutes to get home. And you take the 10-minute way kind of thing. But I've heard so many people, like, it's something Tori's alluded to several times about, I just needed a little bit of time to decompress after work. And I don't find myself needing that, because the only time that I've ever needed that in my life was when I didn't need to decompress the work day before I went home. It was, I need to unpack all the work shit before I go home to all the fucking shit at home.
I think it depends on the job.
Okay.
I think, like, for my wife, like, I don't have it so much for me, and it's been a long time since I've experienced it, because I used to work in, like, food service management, and so the decompress was, so I was aware of, like, what it meant to decompress coming home, and I didn't have that luxury, because when I worked at any job I had, like, the farthest one away I had was the Clarkston subway to here, or to up in the Orchards, past here, and so that was a 15-minute decompress.
Yeah.
But, you know, my wife's a teacher. She's dealing with fourth graders all day long. So she's dealing with 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds all day long.
Are hateful fucking people.
Yeah. And on top of that, she's dealing with administrative.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. No, not only all the students, but all the administrative bullshit.
The administrative bullshit that, like, mounts on top of it. Yeah. So the decompress is definitely there for that. But then you put yourself 7 years deep into that one job that you've done. So she's been doing it for, so 6 years. Okay. So she's been doing it for 6 school years now up in Orofino. You put yourself 6 years into it. The decompress doesn't finish when you get home.
Yeah.
It carries into the household. Yeah. So then I become part of that decompression where I get looped in on all of the stuff that
little Johnny did today.
There's always a little this and that. And so, yeah, right. Exactly. And it's, and I don't fault her for that, but it's like, that wasn't there 6 years ago, but then it slowly seeps in because that becomes the prevailing issue.
It's a, it's but a concept that interests me.
If just I was making that 40-minute drive, I would be getting all of that shit out of my head. Then I would call a friend or something and vent that, out before I got home.
That happens. But my okay, so there's different kinds of processors, and my wife's one of those processors that has to process things multiple times. And so and also one thing that's unique about my wife is she's also part of the, she's a representative for her union. So that, that adds a whole other element to the equation.
I've never understood why people would want to volunteer to do that shit. But
it's nothing pay. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
It's a cool hundy stipend
that they're like, here you go. And it's like, and it's a thankless position because you become to the administration almost an enemy.
Yeah. You're the figurehead of the problem.
And really all you're trying to do is advocate for your, for your people. So that, I mean,
there's some unions that give all of them a bad name.
Oh yeah. Like,
yeah. I don't think that's the case with this one. Basically
give them all a bad name.
Oh, I need to work for 8 hours, and that can, it's all I can do in a day.
That,
no,
you can't,
and this,
pull a little overtime today because things need to be done. Nope. Okay. Fuck you. Go find a different job. Yeah, oh, I can't fire you because I can't fire people who have murdered people.
Part of the solution or part of the problem, man.
No, this particular one is like, we want to suck every little bit out of you that we can. The administration piece of it, and so, it just it makes it a really sticky wicket to play with because
I bet.
Yeah.
I hate it all.
No thanks, man.
I hate society.
Bureaucracy.
I want to
I'm not a fan of unions, but I'm not a fan of administrations that want to
Like, stop exploiting the people who
make
your
bunch of assholes, man. Both
machine
sides.
Run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever your machine is.
Oh,
the people who drive your process should not be treated like shit.
You're given this.
If you're one of those people, you need to quit begging for everything and just walk away. Just walk away. Especially
you can say,
this
minute. You can say no.
Because the people who...
There are so many jobs right now that you can walk away from a job you don't like and pick something else up to get by.
The people who want minimum wage, like all minimum wage employees should work and make, you know, $15 an hour. There should be a national $15 minimum wage law. Majority of them are the same people who want to work a minimum wage job because they have zero interest in putting zero effort into anything. And it's like, no, in order for minimum wage workers to make that kind of money,
you work fast food in high school.
You have
to. That's not easy work.
No, it's not.
And people treat it like it's shit. But the, I mean, like, you're mopping floors and cleaning bathrooms and serving food.
But I look at those $13 wages an hour, and I compare, I still, like, because I'm in my 41-year-old brain, I compare that to my $4.50 an hour. Pay $4.25 an hour pay from when I was that age.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I see $15, I'm like, fuck.
When I was in high school,
I get on it.
And when I graduated shortly after, I went to work at McDonald's for a while. And so I worked in both the McDonald's and the Burger King. So I got to work at Burger King, where it was a closing shift that comprised of three employees, me, Matt, and Jimmy.
Yeah.
One person.
Evans?
Yeah. One person making the food. Evans. One person making the food, that was me. One person taking all the orders, that was Jimmy. And one manager bouncing back and forth trying to just do everything that he could to help both of them.
I think you were called Ronnie.
Yeah. And many, many times in my life.
In Matt's translation of this conversation, I've had this conversation with him.
At McDonald's, where they had one person who cooks the burgers,
one person who prepares the buns and one person who puts the burgers on the buns and finishes them off. And they you go to this place where it's like, okay, they've got four people doing the things that I used to all do by myself. Right. How do any of you have the audacity to be complaining about what you're doing right now? Walk across the street and go work at Burger King for a shift, and you will come back here and kiss your manager's fucking feet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know how easy this goddamn job is.
You know what makes me, like, I used to work at Pizza Hut, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for about 6.5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And when I started there, we didn't have, like, the only thing that we had that was called commissary dough, which was the frozen discs,
yeah,
were the personal pans.
Okay.
And then gradually we got, like, thin crust and a couple, and I think that was it, and then maybe pizzone crust.
Yeah.
But when I started there, we were still hand-making dough.
Mm-hmm.
And so there almost felt like, for me, it was like, this is a skill.
It is.
Yeah.
And slapping out pizza like, dough I'm making dough.
I'm using the dough roller, the hopper and stuff, and rolling
it's
it through.
It's not just something that you make, can throw somebody at and have them do.
Yeah. And
it's not.
And I was really good at it. I was really fast at making pizzas. Like, I'm laying down pepperonis at a really fast pace. And, like, and I know I was because I trained people that weren't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're training people. I'm like, you got to go faster. But they never went or they went a little bit faster. But
it's because they didn't have a window like Fazari's does where people can watch you do it.
Right.
Those people move fast.
But
most of them.
But man.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Most
of them. The pride. Like, I still, like, to this day, I'm 16 years removed from doing that job, but I still have a ton of pride for the work that I did there, mm-hmm, because of the amount of, like, how hard I tried to do well at something like that. Yeah. I've also got a skill that is canceled out in some regards because a lot of the stuff that I did has been automated.
Now you'd only put that skill to use in a mom and pop store.
Right.
There's no
Could
chain.
You make old school Pizza Hut dough?
I make dough every day, every week. I make homemade pizza every week now.
God, you got to bring a piece out sometime.
Yeah, you do.
Because if it tastes like Pizza Hut,
I want to try that.
It's a hand tossed or thin style crust, but
I want to try that.
Hand tossed was the money.
Please,
I don't know if they smeared butter on the bottom or something.
When I worked at Papa John's,
nobody's had
that. Was one of the things that Papa John's.
I can't replicate the recipe, but because it came in a. It still came in a pre-mixed bag.
Yeah.
See there,
but I can get close to, like Papa Murphy style.
Papa John's would come in a dough ball. There'd be a tray of them, and if it was large as, there'd be like six of them on the tray, and so on and so forth. And some of the people that I worked with at Papa John's, like you had a good idea of how good or bad the night was going to go based on who was slapping your dough, because you were either going to be running like a well-oiled machine because Sierra was slapping dough.
Yeah.
She was a badass. Or Justin was slapping dough and he's a badass. Or it was like, oh, it's...
Yeah. No, I remember that. I walking in and seeing your staff.
Any you're job like, oh, I've ever had.
That's true.
It's tonight's going to rock.
Entirely depends. Your night depends on who's slapping your dough.
And there's one or two people that can make or break that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every job.
Yeah.
And pretty much every job, it's always...
I want to try some of your pizza.
10% to 20%.
We'll do a pizza night one of these.
We'll have to do a pizza-themed show. We can talk about Ninja Turtles and...
Oh, yeah. So stay tuned for that, folks.
Various other things. I don't know. I'm hungry is the point that I'm driving at. So I need to go eat, and I need to get home to my kids.
Yeah, I'm already
46
minutes late for
seeing my so here's the thing. I saw my phone over here. June is a unique month because so we rotate our show around lodge meetings,
right?
To some extent.
Yeah,
we have two open weeks at the end of the month, the 22nd and the 29th. Are you guys open to doing back-to-back weeks?
I don't have anything scheduled.
Okay.
I should be.
And I don't put anything in my calendar.
I should be. I'm going.
I barely do.
I'm going camping that weekend, the Father's Day weekend of the 20th.
Uh-huh.
I was able to finesse my way into getting.
But you'll Saturday be back the 22nd.
I believe we're coming back on the 21st. We might be coming back on the 22nd, but either way, I'll be back
On the 22nd.
Calm down, so it Schwarzenegger.
Should be fine.
You'll be back.
And I won't even have to get to the chopper.
So we've left a lot of... We've left some...
We left some things stuff on the list,
table.
But also...
A little bit of garnish.
We can get caught up this month.
Exactly.
Even if we have to do a two-man show because Ron breaks down an axe blade, we can make it happen. That's a Hardy Boys reference for those.
We can catch up.
We might even have a guest. I might line up Jeff or some, or even Peter or something.
Or Bruno.
Or Bruno.
Bruno said he's Bruno's always down to come. Yeah, we haven't seen Bruno's him this quarter.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him this quarter. We love you, Bruno. I don't know if you're watching right now, but I know you'll be listening when it comes out.
Yes, at some point or another, Bruno will have this in his ears.
What has it been?
It's been a little while.
2 months?
He was in April.
It was April. Yeah.
So about he's due. Months.
Yeah.
May really flew by. I think this year is flying by because last year was such a shut-in.
Yeah, this year is gone.
Like, I've had some long nights that have gone by real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and there's another topic for another day. How different this summer is from last summer.
Dude, I've already been to the Aquatic Center twice, and I love it.
So is my kid.
I love it.
We have an aquatic center right here. We need to have like a barbecue.
Oh, yeah. No, I am. Yeah. If you think for 1 second that I'm not going to at least swim.
You're eyeballing my pool.
I was eyeballing it when I walked up.
I know. And he's prone to just stripping nude and jumping in water.
Annabelle and Matthew will be all over it. We can come up and bring food. And yeah, no, we need to.
The only people I ever used to know that own pools were doctors. And now I own a pool. And I'm not
Sunday,
a doctor.
We have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Close. Matthew has.
Well, no clothes.
I work in the medical. I look at medical stuff.
Matthew has 1 day of school left tomorrow. And then it's full blown summer vacation. And we are available quite regularly.
Nice.
So yeah,
we'll work it out.
It'll be a thing.
We're gone for the next couple weeks, but I think after that we'll have some camping thrown in there throughout the summer.
You got to make use of that big rig.
Supposedly at some point this summer I might do a backpack trip with my middle kid. Nice. My middle son. We might do Freeman Creek run.
Oh, right on.
Which would be fun.
Oh yeah.
I want to. I need to lose a little bit of weight and get some exercise.
I think that would be insufferable with my son.
But
imagine him sleeping in a tent.
My middle son eats that shit up. Mm-hmm. He and I like have always been he's been my guy to go to for that stuff, but my oldest son would be the insufferable one.
Yeah.
He would be not liking it at all. But yeah, we need to do that. At some point, I think I'm going to have the hockey guys here, but we might be able to collaborate and have all of it happen at the same time.
Dude, sure, why not? More the merrier.
Be fun.
Absolutely. But,
all right.
Anyway, good night, folks.
Goodbye, Internet
This
people.
Has been a blast.
Thanks for the two of you that have hung out most of the time.
Much appreciated.
If you get the chance to do something nice for somebody tomorrow, do it.
Do it. What's doesn't tomorrow? Cost you much, and
just a day that do something,
and it repays you in memories.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's really cheesy, hokey, like Hallmark Channel shit. But it's something that I say to them.
Take care of yourself.
I say it to the kids,
take
and I
care
used to say
of someone
to
else
all the time.
You know what I used to say when we used to close our podcast back when we did it back in the 2000s
in the actual basement.
In the real basement. Well, you might not remember.
I don't remember it.
But you listened.
Yeah, I was going to say I listened.
We said we're going to be big someday.
Ah,
we'll close out the show with we're going to be big someday, and that's how important it was to me. I actually had to re-listen to the show.
Sadly, it's all gone right here. We're I don't want to be right here.
Yeah, I'm big here in my midsection, but no,
we're going to be big someday.
Yeah, I did it.
I made it.
I'm going to be pretty someday.
No, my whole thing was we're going to be big someday, and that was, but I had to like re-listen to old episodes to remember that because I forgot what it was. Anyway.
Are we going to be big someday?
Someday.
I don't know.
Maybe. If not in the...
I'm strangely comfortable with
in the social sense. I actually enjoy this little nook that we're in, but if we're not in the social sense, I will be for sure in the literal sense.
Oh, yeah.
I always get excited when I see people like queen on our, because I
just
I
jump
wonder,
in and tune in.
I wonder what, you know, it's like I made the comment about the whoever it was that wrote the Dr. Giggles script. Like some person sat down and wrote that down and was like, here's my movie. Whereas, you know, this situation, it's like, how did this guy stumble upon three idiots from the Pacific Northwest who just sit and, I mean, we have covered a wide array. We don't even have a niche that we talk about.
No.
Like, this week on
there's
this
no
show,
focus to this show.
No, it's very unfocused. Right. It's like, how did this dude just happen to stumble across?
But we have an outline, and that's what makes us great.
We did manage to stick
we
to it.
We stuck to
part.
It.
We had we hit well this everything but those. Two bullets.
Yeah, we
honestly
stuck to it pretty well. This
oh
time.
Yeah, we forgot about Elon Musk being the government's puppet, and we didn't make it to Generations Part Two.
But Generations Part Two and Elon Musk, we can actually circle back to. So.
Oh yeah. Because,
totally.
You know.
But anyway.
This thing is evergreen.
Thanks for listening. It's off to Rick from here. Later, guys.
Peace.
All right, peeps. Didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time. Time Spent.